Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, so for example, if it's a story, you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to say is that this podcast will include all kinds of spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. This episode, I'll be discussing not one, but two projects, a pair of flash fiction pieces called Commemoration and Wedding Day. Commemoration was published in March 2016 in Stepping Stones magazine. Wedding Day was published in May 2016 in Queen Mop's Tea House. Both are available in their full text for free online at those sites, and you can find direct links to them on my website at miketchin.com. So the reason I felt compelled to put both of these stories into the same podcast is that they're essentially the same story. They actually feature the same two main characters, Carolyn and Sam, and some of the other background characters also overlap between them as Carolyn and Sam's family members. But in both cases, this is telling the story of their wedding day. So for Commemoration, it's told from the point of view of Carolyn, and from Wedding Day is from the point of view of Sam. So this whole project was based on a class that I took at Johns Hopkins, and one of the exercises that we were challenged to do was to tell the story of the same true event that happened before I was born from two different perspectives, and neither of them could be my own, kind of, you know, going back in time to figure it out or having researched it or whatnot. The idea was, you know, do some speculative work there. It was sort of left unsaid whether or not I should do any research in this process, you know, interview people, you know, dig through old photographs, things like that. And I can certainly understand the impulse for some people to do that for this project. There are definitely ways in which that could have made it easier and certainly could have uncovered some more interesting tidbits to include in a project like this. But from where I sat, especially in the initial go-through of drafting these pieces, I was really interested in it more as a fictive experiment and finding it interesting to speculate on things and sort of, you know, fill in holes, not so much through trying to, you know, get the exact answer of this is how it really was, because you can't really know how something really was, you know, long enough ago. That's one of the problematic pieces of nonfiction writing as a genre, I think. That's not disparaging nonfiction, but more just kind of one of the challenges, I guess I'm trying to say, that it poses, is that anytime when you're kind of transcribing actual events into a written form, I think you are taking some liberties, some interpretation, and sometimes for the good of the story, right? Because just sometimes literally just kind of transcribing what happened just isn't as interesting as adding color to it, adding, you know, speculation, so some interesting thoughts into it, observations, you know, to kind of bring that story to life, to evoke the same feeling that actually living it might feel in a way that you can't really do if you're just transcribing, you know, events or transcribing someone's specific account of it. So in Wedding Day, I tied in the story of the actual wedding day with a story that I remember I'd heard when I was a kid from my father and his brothers, that they had their photos taken by a photographer when they were at my grandfather's laundromat, and the pictures ended up in a national magazine, which was kind of just a cool thing to see. I remember I got to see the magazine when I was really young. You know, haven't seen it since then. Can't say with any certainty which magazine it was. I'm not going to venture a guess there. But I thought that was a pretty interesting beat to include to kind of help define the character who was sort of similar to my father. And obviously, I took a lot of liberties with this character. And I would not say they're the same person by any stretch by the time the story is actually told. But this magazine bit, I actually turned into a point of tension in this story between the character of Sam and his brother. It's kind of a part of what Sam is leaving behind. So the story is that this photographer takes both of their pictures, but only includes pictures of Sam in the actual magazine. So the brother is, you know, pretty jealous and, you know, won't help him buy a copy of the magazine. And it's just one of those kind of petty disagreements that they have. And one of the reasons why my father's, you know, sort of thinking that, he needs to leave this all behind. Or again, I'm slipping into saying my father when, again, this is, you know, certainly not him by the time the story is told, but this character of Sam who was, you know, based on my father. But getting into the headspace of Sam, you know, this isn't just a wedding for him. Certainly that's the biggest piece of it is, you know, starting this new chapter of his life with this woman he's in love with. But there's also a lot of significance in what it represents for this character of leaving behind an old life where he felt sort of underappreciated and he didn't have all the opportunities he wanted to have, and now really kind of paving his own way and making his own opportunities in the world. So commemoration comes from the perspective of Carolyn, who I took a more creative liberties with in a lot of ways. In large part because this character is a lot colder than I think my mother actually was and more calculating about things. The reason why I ended up naming this piece commemoration is the line from the story where the character is actually thinking to herself that that's what a wedding is. It's not an actual life event in any meaningful way. It's just a commemoration of what's already there, of, you know, you're saying you're committed to this person, you're going to be married, it's a beneficial financial relationship, so, you know, moving ahead with that. So, you know, for my parents, it was a courthouse wedding. It was a pretty small affair. I don't know all the details, but again, this was in many ways how I sort of imagined it to be, or kind of the sort of feelings I felt it would evoke. It's just a sense of practicality in general of, you know, kind of bringing people together a little bit for formality's sake, but for the most part, recognizing, you know, that this is kind of just another day. So one kind of hidden little detail in commemoration that I remember, you know, researching, one of the few things I really meaningfully researched outside just kind of taking time to, you know, remember stories I'd heard before, was the music playing in the car in commemoration. It's Queen's Crazy Little Thing Called Love, which was released in October 1979. It was a pretty big hit by the time the year 1980 came around. So it is feasible that it would have been playing on the radio when this story would have occurred. So that was just one of those little detail pieces that, you know, again, I wanted, in terms of research, to focus more on kind of speculation and more fully imagining the scene. But to weave in some of those details, I think, was important, just to give it a sense of realism and kind of capturing what time period we're in when this story is being told. So in January 2016, and this is probably about, I would guess about 5 years, maybe a little more than that, since I'd originally drafted these two pieces, I went on this personal project of trying to churn out at least one poem or at least one fiction of flash fiction per day. And included in that was going through a lot of my old files from, you know, class exercises I had done and from pieces I kind of started and then abandoned, just to find all this old material that I could work from and maybe mold into a more polished piece. So I found this exercise that included these two pieces, and the prose was a little rough on them, and there were some pieces that I felt were pretty extraneous to the story that I was trying to tell in each one, and a handful of things that were sort of missing, too, and things I wove in at that point. But having that work from, again, about 5 years earlier was really useful in using it as a basis to tell these stories and kind of polishing them up from you know, a point of a little more experience with my writing and some distance from those first drafts. I was also pretty happy with how they turned out as two separate flash pieces that they would publish independent of one another, but fortunately came out within a couple months of each other, and I think work well in tandem if you do check them both out and kind of read them at the same time or one after the other. Okay, so that about does it for my conversation of commemoration and wedding day. So I'm going to move on to Mike's monthly endorsement. As a reminder, as an artist, I do think it's important to be consuming other things, to be seeing what interests us and what inspires us and see what's already out there, see what's come before us. So at the end of these episodes, I'm recommending a book or a story or a movie, a TV show, a band, a wrestling match, any of these things that may have escaped a huge mainstream audience, or that might be a little bit dated now and at the cusp of being forgotten, but that I recommend to you. So in this case, it's going to be a book. The book is The Shooting of Rabbit Wells by William Lazo. Bill was a teacher of mine at Hopkins. I worked with him for a workshop there. And it's one of the people I remember best from Hopkins, just being a super thoughtful person, a really smart writer, and someone whose actual like literal voice, when you hear him talking, really transcends onto the page in the way that he writes, at least in his sort of nonfiction efforts. And we'll talk a little bit more about why I'm saying sort of nonfiction, because that's a debatable line with this particular project. So The Shooting of Rabbit Wells recounts the story of a person who Bill sort of knew in his community growing up. Not a dear friend of his, not someone he was terribly close to or remembers that well, but someone who was, just kind of a figure who coexisted in his same universe when he was growing up in New Jersey. And this is a person, a multiracial background, who ended up being killed by police. So, kind of a timely story, certainly. It's something that I think is, of great interest, to this day, as we have a lot of controversy around, a lot of other events of similar ilk going on in the media the last few years. But this story, I mean, it has that kind of interesting lens of, again, it being something that hits kind of close to home, not being, again, that Bill was, a dear friend or a family member of Rabbit Wells, but it being someone who he did remember, someone who he sort of knew. So part of why I want to talk about this book in relation to this particular podcast is it does some really interesting things in terms of kind of combining and allowing these different elements to complement each other in terms of memory in what Bill actually remembers as just a person and from his childhood and the places that where he went and the places where Rabbit would have been. And mixing it with kind of this sense of folklore and kind of the legends that you hear of people, especially after someone's died, they kind of take on a different life and kind of the way that people remember them and the way they talk about them. So combining those elements with doing some research, doing some interviews, as well as just some speculation. So ultimately, this project is really a true hybrid piece, I think, in terms of fiction and nonfiction. And Bill's very open about that, does not claim it as being a fully non-fictional work, although it's in many ways treated as one. He'll often, write in the text, I wasn't there, so I have to speculate about this part, or I imagine it to be this way, as like a lead-in to portraying a scene. And I think that's a pretty cool move. I think that's a way of kind of breaking down that wall and being really transparent about when you are being fictive in your writing, but at the same time also trying to maintain that thread of what's real and what's really reportage going on in the book. So overall, I think it's a really successful book, and again, kind of a cool gateway into the voice and into the mind of Bill Loiseau. So I certainly recommend it to anyone who might be interested. The Shooting of Rabbit Wells, again, by William Loiseau. Okay, so as always, I want to thank everyone for listening, and I hope you will check back again. Special thanks go out to Mike Peek for providing the theme music for this show. I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.